Welcome to the Subtle Reformation Podcast. We're so glad that you can join us. I'm one of the hosts, Ben.
And I'm Stephen. And we're really glad that you've joined us to listen to us muse about formation and what it means for who and how we can be in this world.
Well, welcome back to the Subtle Reformation for season two. It is fantastic to be back here with you all. And for all those listening, a big warm welcome back to the podcast. We thought this morning we would spend some time actually just discussing what happened in season one, tell you guys a little bit what's happening in season two and any more exciting announcements and adventures we've got planned for this season. So Stephen, welcome back. And mate, what was a highlight of season one for you?
I think it's good to be back, and it's good to be with you again, mate. It's been a real pleasure working with you.
I feel the same.
Yeah, it's been lovely. And obviously, we've done quite a bit of work in the background before recording this morning. So, I think probably one of the most rewarding things was actually being contacted by people who were listening, people who were asking questions. I think we said right at the very onset, we wanted this to be something that was helpful. So a user-friendly, accessible approach to formation and a contemplative way of being. And yeah, judging by the feedback that we've gotten, that seems to be the case. Yeah, I've just been really delighted by some of the comments. Everything from people who have known us in the past and who have said they've really enjoyed re-engaging with a conversation around formation 5 or 10 years later, and hearing those things again, but hearing them with new ears. And hearing from some people in distress as well, some people who are facing some pretty challenging situations and circumstances, which we kind of, that was one of the reasons why we wanted to do this podcast. We kind of knew that for people being forced into a certain way of being because of COVID, being forced into lockdown, being forced to relate to a smaller circle of people, being forced to really question their usefulness. I think it was Henry Nouwen who said, the three biggest lies in the world are, we believe that we are what we do, we believe we are what we have, and we believe what other people say about us. And in this current environment, those things are pronounced more than at any other time I can think of, certainly in my life. So hearing from some people in crisis, whether that be a full-on, DEFCON 5 kind of crisis, or just a quiet, I've got a real nagging sense that something's wrong, but it feels more like wisdom teeth rather than, a cut on my flesh kind of thing. This is a serious crisis. And just being able to be in conversation with them has been really delightful. So yeah. those are probably the highlights for me, I think.
No, they're great. I think that's a similar experience for me, just seeing some of the emails that we've got, or the comments that have been on Facebook posts or messages and conversations that I've had with people just communicating about the podcast has been really cool. And I do agree with you. I think in this season in particular, it's been really important to have some of those questions and discussions. And obviously, part of our asking and answering those questions are kind of what framed the six episodes we did. Or seven, six of actually answering stuff, one of just getting to know us, was based around some of the questions that, some of my peers in youth and young adults ministry had been asking, for themselves and for how they deal with young people and how they navigate this season that they're in. And yeah, I think it's always a really positive to know that sometimes the ramblings and conversations that you're having and other people are listening to are actually being beneficial and helpful to them. So,
well, if we're going to be really honest, Ben, I think what was really delightful was the first time we were contacted and we were like, oh, someone's listening. So that was really delightful as well. Yeah. And then it just turned out to be a lot more people than we sort of first anticipated.
Yeah, that first one just seems to validate everything, doesn't it? Like, yes. It wasn't just me listening to myself over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's
good. Welcome back, listener.
Yeah, that's right. If you're out there, we appreciate you. But yeah, so I really enjoyed season one, answering some of those questions, but I'm also really looking forward to this next season, Stephen. Do you want to just give a little bit of background to those listening about, I guess, kind of what we're looking at, why we're looking at it, and yeah, and how we hope it'll be a benefit to others?
Yeah, look, I think it's fair to say that season one was a bit of a shotgun. I had at least three people contact me directly saying, oh, you know, episode so and so. You know, I felt like that was really dense and you could have done a whole season on that episode. So
yeah.
When we talked about disciplines, a number of people saying, you know, if you could have slowed that down and done that for a season, that would have been really helpful. But it really was a shotgun approach. We just sort of put the word out to some people that we knew and some people that we didn't, saying we were going to do a podcast where we were going to muse on formation. And you did the legwork. You invited some questions. So the questions became the basis of the episode. So it wasn't as though we had some kind of grand strategy that we were going to pursue. But I'll ask you to check my theory here, but it seemed to me that there were two particular themes in terms of our interactions with our listeners. And the first one was, so you keep using this word formation, you keep talking about contemplation and formation. What is it? Can you give us a bit of a working definition? What do you mean when you use the word formation? And then the second question is kind of predicated on the first. Assuming how we defined formation and a contemplative life, if it was similar to what they were suspecting, what they've gleaned from season one, then the second thing was, well, how do I get started? And I think we've mentioned a few times in season one, you and I, in some respects, we've cheated in that we've had to go through formal structures, you know, formal courses in order to get going. But a number of people saying, well, how do you get started? And of course, when we have been involved in a structured formative process, it was pre-lockdown, it was pre-COVID. So we could actually be in a room with people face-to-face telling stories. You know, when we do the reading approach to formation, we could actually meet with people and have conversations over coffees that were not in our house. So those of you listening, I'm in Victoria. We've got another at least 6 weeks of lockdown two, lockdowner. And Ben in Brisbane's being really cocky, but I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, we're in so, the same spot.
Yeah, so based on those two, well, I might pause there before I talk a little bit more about season two, but would you concur those were sort of the two main things in our interactions with our listeners?
Yeah, they were. And even the informal ones where people weren't necessarily contacting us, but they were contacting us personally just because they know us, just some of those questions around our formation. And even I think that deeper question of, I know for me, dealing with other people who are, you know, leaders in churches or leading ministries or whatever, asking those questions of, I know this is important, but how do I get other people to understand why it's important as well? And so I think that was part of it too. What is formation? All that sort of stuff. But why is it so important? And how do I get other people to see that value as well? So, yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good framework of why we've kind of decided to tackle those questions in this season a little bit more directly.
Yeah, and so season two, just to be really clear from the onset, we actually want to invite people to do stuff. So we're actually going to talk about a structured approach to formation, a structured approach to contemplative practice. We're going to do the first few episodes of season two are going to be setting that up, so doing some more definition. But I'm just looking at our plan over here on the other screen. Yeah, so starting episode five, so there's going to be 10 episodes this season. Starting episode five, after doing a few weeks of setup, we're actually going to invite each week people to do some stuff. And of course, as is always the case, if you have the time or the inclination as a listener to then interact with us and feedback to us what you've experienced as we give you your homework, if you like, for that week. So there's going to be 5 weeks of practice. So we're not just going to talk about contemplative practice and formation. We're going to do a bit of setup, hopefully give enough definition, and then we're going to actually launch into it and say, okay, try this for a week. So 10 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day, give this a crack, and then feedback to us during the course of the week. How did you go? And I hope this doesn't catch any of the team by surprise this morning, but I'm pretty sure, because we do record early in the morning, I'm pretty sure we all agreed that we would practice as well. So at the very least, we would be reflecting upon our own experience of undertaking these exercises.
Totally. And I think that's great, because I think one of the things about formation is it's easy to verbally argue why it's an important thing to do. But I actually think it's one of those things that actually the experience of doing it and seeing how it impacts and shapes and, you know, God uses it to transform your life is the argument, you know, like actually that's why you do formation. And it's only really in that experience that you can truly appreciate the value that is found in it. So I think that's really good. And I'm looking forward to what we're going to do in season two. I think it's going to be, really eye-opening and hopefully set some really great foundations for us to continue to build on in future seasons as well. But Stephen, I did notice that you said at the end there, I hope this doesn't surprise the team. Now, I think that's almost a perfect segue, because during the back end of season one, we've had a couple of people reach out and say, hey, look, this is something I'm really enjoying. This is something I love. I'd love to be involved and be a part of going on. And for Stephen and I, we've actually also kind of always had in our conversations that we didn't want this to be something that is just Ben and Stephen talking about formation, but actually is open to other voices and having other people in the mix. And so we've got a couple of people that we'd love to introduce our podcast listeners to, I guess our podcast family to, who have joined the team and whose voices you're going to be hearing throughout season two. So I might it's going to be exciting. So I might do a little bit of a welcome. So I'm going to welcome to the podcast Julia and Tom. Julia and Tom, it's great to have you guys joining us this morning. And I just want to spend a little bit of time for our listeners to get to know you guys, because they're going to be hearing your voices. And I think it'd be also great for them to hear a little bit of your hearts and a little bit of your journey to where you are now. So I actually think we might go ladies first, because we're gentlemen here on the Subtle Reformation. So
I don't get accused of that often.
Well, at least it's recorded now for everyone to hear, Stephen. You're a gentleman. So
reminded me, episode one, season two, I was called a gentleman.
Yeah, that's right. I'll even cut out the audio bite for you and you can just have it on your phone ready to show others.
My ringtone.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm going to welcome Julia to the podcast. Julia, I'd love it if you could just start by sharing a little bit about, you know, who you are, where you find yourself, what you're excited to bring to the podcast this season with us.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I just decided that a female needed to crash the party. that is Subtle Reformation or Reformation. And anyway, no, it's lovely to be able to do this, especially because I'm a Melburnian as well, especially because literally we have nothing much really that we're doing. No, that is not the reason why I've joined it. So I'm midlife, so I'm not a young adult, youth or young adult person. I have been there though at some point, and I guess my heart is to, I don't know, somehow come back to the things that I wish I had of maybe known, or you know, just maybe persisted in when I was first up in my journey with Jesus. I am married to Ian, and I have two young adult boys, sons, and so I sort of get the energy and the vibe of that age group, which actually is fantastic to be around a lot of the time. Good old laughs, quietly in the background over things that happen, things that they're wrestling with. But I didn't grow up knowing anything about, I didn't grow up in the church and I didn't know Jesus at all, which I now actually see as a bonus, and I probably need to explain that, which maybe I won't at this point, but I just think that it's given me an opportunity to know what it's like to be outside the bubble sometimes, and that's been rather helpful, because I guess my heart is always for people that want to get to know God, want to go on a spiritual journey, but maybe don't want to get all caught up in the religion and the rules and the regulations and things like that. So, but I came to know Jesus in a really interesting way, because I ended up leaving school after year 11 and started working in the city in a retail outlet, and a really good friend or someone who became a really good friend of mine was a follower of Jesus, which really surprised me, because she was actually really cool. She was, I know that's a discussion in itself. And she was in a band. She had a life. She'd go out. She just didn't fit the mold that because I'd unfortunately met a few Christians that did fit the mold that I'd sort of had this very stereotyped understanding of Christians, probably because I'd been in witchcraft when I was a teenager, and then I moved into New Age. So I was probably a walking persona of the very people that lots of Christians get freaked out by. Sorry, not lots of Christians, some Christians get freaked out by. So we just got to be in, develop a friendship, and used to have lots of deep chats and about life and meaning and purpose. And I guess I got to see Jesus at work in someone's life in a really beautiful, organic way. And then she got married, and so we turned up in a church. That was the first time I'd been to her sort of context, faith community, and that's where we ended up sort of forming friendships and went on a journey. Made a decision for me around sort of 21, about 6 months before I was set to get married to Ian. So all the wedding was, very secular and nothing to do with Jesus really, but we kind of knew that something had happened. And then, fast track 27 years later, best decision of my life. Absolutely, I can say that, but it certainly has had its ups and downs. And I think because I've found myself not fitting in a lot of the culture and context that was prescribed, and that's probably what led to me wanting to go on a journey of, who is Jesus and who am I, and which really is formation. So that's sort of, I guess, the story a bit.
Yeah, that's great.
Hey, Julia, when you contacted us, we were right in the middle of having a conversation about wanting to have a female voice as part of the podcast. I'm just reading a phrase from one of the meetings we had after you came on board, and you used the phrase, I'm quoting you back to yourself here. You've got to be careful around me. I'm a copious note taker. You said, I needed to come back home to me. Do you remember saying that?
Yes, because that's my, I say that to myself a lot.
Do you know, I mean, that was quite a poignant statement to make. Do you want to just fill us in a little bit? I'm also fishing a bit more for your interest and your connection to formation. But I thought that might be a good a good springboard, that that statement, I needed to come home back to me?
I think because I spent at least the first, I don't know, decade or so really wanting to fit in, to, because this was a whole new journey for me when you, when I, well, for me, when I discovered Jesus, and then I, like, it was just so life-giving and transforming, and I got involved in everything I could get involved in. I was all in. I was serving on things. I was helping. I mean, whatever I could do, particularly so that I could be around, you know, be around people that maybe didn't know Jesus yet, and share Jesus with them. But I sort of started to discover that there was a certain formula or a prescription over what would be the done way of doing that, and then what wouldn't. And I guess I tried to conform for quite a while, and try is probably the best word, because there was always breakouts. There was always moments where I'd feel like, I just don't agree with that, and I don't actually think that's the best approach, because I know what helped me to get to know Jesus was that I needed to know that there was a God who actually delighted in me, who actually thought I was of value and worth, because I had a whole lot of issues going on around a really lovely facade. So I have an extroverted personality, and I'm friendly, and I'm happy-go-lucky. But behind that facade was a lot of self-loathing and a lot of brokenness, really. And so, yeah, I just started to find myself having more and more issues with, you know, I'd be told this is the way you need to go about things, or this is how you need to present yourself, or, and I started working in the team as well, started working in a big church. And so, you know, there was also drivers around wanting to be approved, and wanting to, you know, look like you were keeping up the, you know, the persona of that entity. And and again, there's so much in that for me, because there's a part of me that can do that. I can be a chameleon, and then there's a part of me that starts having a meltdown and a breakdown over this is not the real me. I think it just took me a long time. It actually took me a long time to actually come to terms with the fact that God really, really likes me as me. Because I mean, it's hard to explain, but unfortunately something can happen in a church culture where that is not what is really presented. It might be what's spoken, but there's always, this is my experience. There's been an undercurrent of, yes, God loves you unconditionally and exactly as you are, but we need you to behave this way and do this stuff. And there's probably still a little bit of hurt in that for me even now. Like, we're talking, you know, quite a lot of years later. So I think it just took me a long time to come home to myself. And that actually happened particularly because I felt like God kept telling me that I love you. I think you're amazing. I don't have a problem with you. I think eventually because I was having meltdowns, I think eventually I started to think, well, which voice am I listening to? Which voice is going to, because I'm, if I continue on the track of trying to gain approval from people, I'm going to be a mess. But if I started to actually believe that God really does love me as me, and that I don't need to pretend, and I don't need to, and in fact, actually, if I turned up as my real self, maybe that would be more helpful for people. I've got one quick example. This might be taken out because we don't have time. But when I was on staff at this big church. I was helping out in a play group just as a volunteer thing. It was nothing to do with my role, which was the interesting mindset. So I'd come to this play group at the end of the week and I'd just take my mask off and I'd just be myself and I'd just go, hey, I'm not being paid for this. It's not a staff thing for ministry, so therefore I'm just going to be myself. And you know, the most fruitful ministry of that whole year was that play group, because I came and I, you know, was chatting with mums or carers about, you know, what it means to be a parent and how hard it is and ups and downs and don't worry about it, you'll be. I didn't feel the pressure of having to be someone that I'm not in that environment, because I was just in a group with a bunch of people who just knew me as Julia and not, you know, a staff member or pastor, blah, blah, blah person. And I just found that really interesting. It was like suddenly it became really clear that it would be better for me if I could just be myself and know that actually that's the best way to show up. So there's my long answer to a short question.
No, that's good. Thanks for sharing. Appreciate it. Well, that's a little bit about Julia. So we might welcome the other member who is joining our team, the wonderful, amazing, handsome Tom, who is also got a beautiful voice. So we're going to be very blessed to listen to his voice.
His radio voice.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a face for TV and a voice for radio. Very blessed.
And have you noticed all the Melburnians are wearing black this morning?
Yeah, in mourning. Well, Tom, why don't you jump on, have a little bit of a chat. Tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got connected with Formation, and what kind of drove you to reach out and get involved with the Subtle Reformation.
Yeah, sure. First of all, I just want to acknowledge it's really cool to experience the novelty of being on a podcast for someone who's such a huge fan of podcasts. But then I'm also a fan of this one, and I really enjoyed and loved season one. So yeah, it's really cool to be able to be a part of it. So yes, I'm Tom McPherson. I head up the youth and young adults at the church that I'm at in Melbourne, Edge Church. I'm also a student. I'm not the best student, I'm not going to lie. I'm not a fan of homework.
I'm not sure I've ever heard anyone say I'm a student and I'm a great student. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say that.
They're out there, and compared to me, they're all good ones.
But it's like cars. You know, when you jump into your car and you're like, I'm really sorry, it's really messy. And it's like, when was the last time you got into a super clean car? And when you did, how comfortable did you feel with the owner who kept it, you know, so clinically clean? But anyway, I digress. Keep going, Tom.
Yeah, maybe my student is relatable. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else? I mean, we've all been in this situation in quarantine where we've been forced to spend more time with ourselves. And I don't mind myself. I'm all right.
Is this the point, Ben, where we point out the fact that both Julia and Tom are sevens on the Enneagram?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a much more up show from here on in, that's guys. Right.
A lot more life, a lot more fun, a lot more energy.
What problem?
Yeah. Not like
everything's awesome.
Not like us angry eights and ones who've just been sitting there beforehand. That's good.
I remember saying to Julia, so what, you know, what, like, not as an interview, but just out of curiosity, what is it that you reckon you'll bring to the show? And she was like, I don't know, maybe it might be a little bit more up.
Yeah.
So, Tom, you enjoy being yourself? Good to know. That's why I like hanging around you, mate.
Yeah, no, I don't mind it. I guess some other things to say about myself is I'm 23. I'm a young adult, and I think part of the reason that I've been brought into the fold is because I'm a bit of a representation of the demographic that really should take an interest in and have a real good shot at getting a lot of starting that journey if if it hasn't been started already on the path
yeah.
to formation and to see how and which you've already been formed. I've kind of been on the journey myself now for a number of years, but I've definitely taken a special conscious interest in it in the last, I'd say 6 months. I feel like it was something that I didn't really care about, but I was told that I was supposed to for a while, you know, going through Bible college, where Steve was actually one of my lecturers. So that's how Steve and I kind of connected. And then years later, I was like, I don't need this stuff. This stuff's not that interesting. But then years later, the ball has dropped and just across the board. And I've just realized, I'm like, man, you know what? I really am just a product of the world around me and the world in which, you know, I've come through, here in Melbourne. And I come from a Christian family as well. Like they're not, And I think what I've kind of realized is not only is this stuff so important, but there's so much on this path. I feel like an absolute baby with all of it. And so I just really enjoy being able to hear everything that we've kind of talked about so far. And I'm really getting into it myself, into the deep and thick of the practice of it all. And I just over and over and over again, I'm just completely reminded of just how unconscious I am, but also how special it is to be able to become aware in new ways and be able to, start to be able to actually, you know, have a say in my own formation.
Yeah. I think that's good. I think that's really, really good. I just want to say, Tom, I've really appreciated having you in our team and just the questions you ask, the perspective that you give, but also even though you said you're a baby, you're a very wise baby. You've shared some really great stuff that's been really helpful for us just thinking through how we do this podcast, but also even just in our discussions about formation that we have, you know, off air and in chats and all that sort of stuff. So I just, I want to say, in all of this, I'm really looking forward to what you're going to share just as much as what you're going to ask. So it's great to have you on team with us. And Julia, it was great to hear your heart behind this too. And I know I'm really excited for what you guys are going to help bring to season two. Hopefully it will be a little bit more up, but I also think your different perspectives and questions are going to be really great as we journey through this big topic of what is personal formation. What does it mean? What does it look like? Why is it important? And how can we do it? I think it's going to be really great having you guys journey with us through this season.
Mm.
But yeah, other than that, Stephen, do you have any last words you want to say before we finish up?
Yeah, look, I thought I'm one of those people that treats others the way I like to be treated. So
well, that's novel.
It was John Cleese once who said, he said, you know, Jesus said, treat others the way, you would like to be treated. He said, that's a very bad idea. What if you have different tastes? So I kind of like to know in a big picture sense, not necessarily in a detail sense, but so the next four episodes are going to be laying some groundwork for action. So the first five episodes are, we're going to get you to do stuff. We need to explain the stuff that we're going to get you to do. And then the last five episodes are going to be doing the stuff. And we're going to do it together as a team. And we're going to be inviting everybody as well to get on board. So next week, we've got the great and wonderful privilege of spending some time with Dr. Peter Bentley. Yeah. Who's probably one of the leading thinkers and practitioners when it comes to formation in Australia. Then we had a little bit of a debate, and Tom won the day. We're actually going to do an episode on the Enneagram. Even though there's some good Enneagram resources out there, Tom made a really good case that the way in which he's experienced the Enneagram in the context of formation, he hasn't really found that in other resources. So I thought, okay, that's a good argument. Let's go with that. So we're going to have a look at the Enneagram and the role it can play in formation. Then we're actually going to look at contemplation in week four, because and we'll pick up on this when we chat to Peter Bentley, when we talk about what is formation, because it's amazing how quickly something like contemplation has become commodified and it's become a product of late stage capitalism. You know, you've heard me say on a number of occasions, I cannot abide the, you know, the colouring, the mindfulness colouring books. It's, you know, contemplation has been appropriated and used as another way of pacifying the masses and putting them to sleep. So we're going to talk a little bit about contemplation and the contemplative approach. And then we get into it. So hopefully that will lay enough of a foundation for the homework that we'll start setting from week five onwards. So hopefully there'll be enough theory, but there'll also be enough practice as well. And again, just want to be really clear, if people want to interact, we really appreciate that. But be careful, because if you do interact, you may find yourself on the podcast in season three.
Correct. That's right. But yeah, I think on that note, Stephen, Julia, Tom, great to have you guys all on the podcast today. I think on that note, it's probably time for us to finish up episode one. And guys, we look forward to having your listening ears join us week two, as Stephen said, with Dr. Peter Bentley. I'm sure it's going to be a brilliant conversation. And we look forward to seeing you guys then. Don't forget to connect with us. You can send us an email, connect with us on Anchor, or even if you know some of us personally, feel free to reach out too. We'd love for you guys to connect with us. But other than that...
In a socially distanced way.
Yes, correct. Following current COVID guidelines in your state or area. But other than that, we'd love to see you guys connect with us. And we'll hopefully have you guys join us next week as we connect with Dr. Peter Bentley. But other than that, have a great week, and we will hear from you and you will hear from us very soon.
Beautiful. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.